Here we are in Parshas Mishpatim, and there's really so much to talk about that it's difficult to make any choices. So let's, for this week, we'll just make the shiur a little bit different and talk about the klal of Ein Mukdam Umu'ucha Batayra. The yesod that you find Parshas in the Torah which are not there in the chronological order. Now that's a major machlokes of Rashi and the Ramban over here at the end of Mishpatim. And let's have a look at that, and we'll talk a little bit about the concept of Ein Mukdam Umu'ucha Batayra. So in Perek Chof Dalet Posek Aleph, Vel Moshe Omer Alei El Hashem, Ato V'Aron Nodav V'Avio V'Shivim Mezikne Yisrael V'Yishtachavisa Merochek. So Moshe Rabbeinu is being asked to come up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he should be accompanied by Aaron, Nadav, V'Avihu, and Shivim Zikne Yisrael, and he should bow down from the distance. Rashi, Vel Moshe Omer, Parsha Zu Nemro Koidem Aseres HaDibros. This really, in historical terms, took place before the Aseres HaDibros. That means, if it would have been in chronological order, it would have been in Yisrael before the Aseres HaDibros. But Dalet B'Sivan Nemaloi Alei, that what is going to be told over here took place on the 4th of Sivan. That's what Rashi learns. So on the 4th of Sivan, we didn't learn about that in Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is asked to go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'nigash Moshe levado el Hashem, v'hem lo yigoshu, he should draw near, v'om lo yalu imay. Fine. So on the fourth day, v'yobo Moshe v'yisakeh lo'om eskol divrei Hashem, v'eskol ha-mishpatim, v'yan kol ho'om koil echot, v'yomu kol ha-dvorim asher dibeh Hashem na'aseh. Now what Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden over here, and what they said, okay, we will do it, let's leave that, because otherwise we'll get too far out of our, where we want to go. But right in this pasuk already, we have a shtickle problem, because let's see again what it says in the pasuk. Vayomer Moshe vayisaper lo'om eskol divrei Hashem veskol ha-mishpatim. Now, why mishpatim? What are the mishpatim? Now, according to Rashi, this took place before Matan Torah. That means on the 4th of Sivan. Parshas Mishpatim was only told after the Aseres HaDibros. So on the 4th day of Sivan, what mishpatim did he know about? How are we going to understand what mishpatim are? Now, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayichtav Moshe es kol divrei Hashem. So on that day, he wrote down all the divrei Hashem. Now, what are they? So Rashi says, Mibreishis vat matan Torah. That's all he had till now. V'kosav mitzvah shenitztavu b'moro. Well, he had those mitzvahs. And that's what he wrote down. But the mishpatim, Rashi doesn't tell us how he learns about mishpatim. Okay, Vayichtav Moshe es kol divrei Hashem, Vayashkem baboika, that would be on the 5th, Vayiven mizbeach tachas oho, Ushtem esre matzevo, Lishneim oso shiftei Yisrael, he builds a mizbeach. Vayishlar es nahre b'nei Yisrael, these are the Bechorim, Vayishlar es nahre b'nei Yisrael, Vayalu oilois, Vayizbuchu shlomim, Lashem porim, they brought korbanos. Then Vayikach Moshe, Chatzi Hadam. Now there was plenty of dam over here from the Zvochim, the Shlomim, which they brought. So Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Hadam, Vayosem Boagonos, half of it he put into some kind of vessel. Chatzi Hadam Zorag ala Mizbeach. And the other half he was Zorag on the Mizbeach. Then Vayikach Sefer HaBris, he took the Sefer HaBris, and Rashi learns what is this Sefer HaBris, what he wrote last night on the 4th, in which he wrote from Bereshis till Matan Torah, plus what they had learned in Moro. Vayichro bo'oznei ho'am, vayomu kol asher divrei Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Vayikach Moshe es Hadam, vayizrok al ho'am, vayomu hinei dam habris asher koras Hashem imochem al kol hadvorim ho'eile. Okay, now, so this is the story of a krisus bris, Krishna's bris is always half-half. That's why the bris bein apsarim, they cut the various animals into halves. So here also the dam was divided into half. It was a bris between the Bnei Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore half the dam was sprinkled on the Mizbeach on the fourth, representing the half of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and half was sprinkled on the people on the fifth. And that was a bris. And what was it a bris on? Vayomer hinei dam habris asher koras Hashem imochem al kol hadevarim ha'ele. What are all these things? Presumably what it says in the Sefer HaBris, and in anticipation of Matan Torah. That's what Rashi learns, that this whole Pasha over here is Shiloh Bim Kaimai. Azay Zog Rashi. The Ramban, very, very stark, says, it's very schwer to say that over here suddenly a chunk of what we're learning belongs earlier, and then immediately following onto this, you have another Pasha, which is in Pesach Yud Beis, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Alei Elai Hahara, and that's Taka after Matan Torah. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and is going to remain for 40 days on the Har to bring down the Luchas. So the first Alei is before Matan Torah, the second Alei is after Matan Torah. Ramban doesn't like it, and Ramban says, no, the Pasha is Akasidra, and this year happened after Matan Torah. I don't want to go now exactly into the machloikas of Rashi and Tosfos, what exactly the significance of this bris was, whether it was better before Matan Torah, or whether it was better after Matan Torah, because I want to concentrate on the issue of Ein Mukdam U'Mu'ucha B'Torah. The Ramban's shitta in Ein Mukdam U'Mu'ucha B'Torah is that you have to have a very good reason for saying Ein Mukdam U'Mu'ucha B'Torah. In other words, it is true that there are pashyos in the Torah where it's not the chronological order which determines where it should be written. That's true. But on the other hand, some to do it without any reason and say, Ein Mukdam U'Mu'ucha B'Torah, it doesn't really matter. So that you can't say, the Ramban says. The locus classicus of this Ramban is a machloikus which he has with the Ibn Ezra at the beginning of Koyrach. At the beginning of Koyrach, we have this problem. When did the story of Koyrach happen? So the Ramban brings the Ibn Ezra and he says, for Omar Rabbi Avraham, because here in the middle of nowhere, why suddenly was there a machloikus? What happened? Like Samba, Yitzhak, Koyrach, and Yitzhak, it's after the Meraglim, suddenly he rebels. Why does he suddenly rebel? So, Omar Rabbi Avraham, ki zeh adova hoya b'mid basinai, kasher nechlefo ha-bechoyrim, v'nivdil ha-leviyim, etaka took place long before. Right after they came out, after Matan Torah, and when it came to that the bechoyrim lost the Bechoyra because of the Maisa Egel and the Levium were chosen, and that is when this Machloikus happened. People thought, he makes his brother into Kohen Gadol, that's nepotism. Gam livnei kohos shem kroivim elov, So the Yisraelim were mad. Why? What are the Levim? Why do they have to replace our Bechorim? Our Bechorim are perfectly okay. Tell it to his vital nepotism. He comes from Shevet Levi, and therefore he wants to make his Levim into Groysim Machas. Then Gamli Vnei Koyrach, and also the Vnei Koyrach, Shem Kroivim Elov. Ulchol Vnei Levi, Shem Mishpachto. He wants to give a Yichus. So, but the Levim kashulav, the Levim were against him. They didn't like their subservient matzav relative to Aaron the Bonav. The Keshet Dosan v'Aviram, they were from Reuven. Bavur shehesi habechayrom Reuven Avir. Gam Koyrach bechayr hoyo, and bechayr was also Yaakov. Koyrach was also a bechayr. He was the bechayr of Yitzhak. And therefore all these people had tainas at the time when the Bechoyrim were replaced with the Levim. Zog the Ramban, v'zeh midaitoi shel Rabbi Avraham, Whenever he's got a difficult pasha and he doesn't know what to do with it, he says, oh, that's okay. Just when he wants to. Either where the Torah says very clearly, I'm going to tell you this, and gam sham letzorach inyan ulatam nochen. You have to have a reason for it. Ein muktam amucha b'Torah does not mean that there's no logic to the way Torah is written. Why should the Rabbeinu Shalom write an illogical sefer? So there is a logic. What is the logic, Mechayev? The logic is Mechayev that not always is chronology the best method. An example comes to mind about the by the man. Right away in Bishalad, by the man, you have Kachlachotz in Senes Haman and put it next to the Oren. Well, in Bishalad there wasn't any Oren yet. Ein Muktam Amucha Batara. No. Why Ein Muktam Amucha Batara? Terah says, because this is the Pasha of the man, and therefore there's a Svara to say, I'll jump ahead and let you know what happened ultimately with the man. And so therefore the Tzenes Haman belongs over there. So that was a case where a certain consideration outweighed the logic of chronology. The logic of chronology should say that the Kachlachos and Tzenes Haman should wait till later on after the Mishkan has been built. But there's a tendency to want to finish the story. You have the same thing at the end of Sefer Shemois. The very, very last pasha of Sefer Shemois is where the Onam comes to rest on the Mishkan. Now that didn't happen till the Shmini Lamiluim that the Onam came. And so what's he doing at the end of Shemois? Now we first have Vayikra, and then the Miluim come into Tzaveh, to Tzaveh, and then you have Shmini, and that's where the Onam came. Terah says, it's the end of Shemois, the Torah wanted to finish. It's telling us about the Mishkan, so it comes and tells us the Pasha. It looks ahead and says, oh, by the way, when it was finally finished, and when the Chinuch was finally finished, the Onan filled the Mishkan. That's another case of a Muktam Amucha B'Torah, but it's with logic. It makes sense. It's not everybody's taste. Not everybody will want to say, well, let me finish the story first, and I'll even jump ahead. But the Rabbi Shem, that's what he wanted. But to say Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, Samazoi, like the Ibn Ezra doesn't offer any apologies over here. He doesn't say why the Torah, if it indeed happened earlier when the Bechorim were being replaced by the Levim, if it happened earlier, so then why do you write it over here? The Ibn Ezra didn't feel that he had to defend it. If he didn't feel that he had to defend it, the Ramban says, he goes to Shitose, that he says in Lutzaina, whenever he feels like it, he says it. So over here, we see that Rashi said that our Pasha of Alei Elai and the Klisus Bris by the Mizbeach, the Chatzi Adam, that happened earlier on the 4th of Sivan, Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah. Now what's Rashi's Shitta in Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah? Does Rashi hold like the Ibn Ezra that you can do it without any reason altogether? Chronology is simply not something which the Torah deals with necessarily. Or does Rashi agree with the Ramban that it's true that Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, that chronology is not the only cheshbon which there is, but you have to have a good reason? Oh, so Rav Hartman, the Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, who brings out the Maharals with his Meirudiga Perish and the Guaria and other Sforum of the Maharal. It's such a beautiful, beautiful work. So we'll come later on, if we have time, we'll go and look at the Maharal. What the Maharal says was Taka Rashi's Cheshbon. But he in his footnotes to the Maharal says, yeah, Rashi's shit is like the Ramban. Rashi's shit is like the Ramban. That it's true that we say Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah. But if you say Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, you have to have a reason for it. And he brings a Raya from Rashi, in Bamidbar, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, which is the Pasha of Pesach Sheni. Vayidav Hashem el Moshe v'midbar Sinai, v'shona Hasheni v'tzeisam v'eretz Mitzrayim, v'chodesh v'rishon lema. That happened in Nisan. So that happened in Nisan of the second year. Hey, but just a moment, where did Sefer Bamidbar start? Bamidbar starts in Iyar, the 20th of Iyar. Vayidbar Hashem el Moshe el Aaron lemar ish al digla. One second, I got to the wrong place. But right at the beginning of Bamidbar, Vayidbar Hashem el Moshe mit basina ba'el moed be'echad lachodesh hasheni b'shonu hashenis letzaisa meretz Mitzrayim leman lachodesh. Yeah, did I say the 20th of Iyar? That was later on by the Masoret. But over here, it's the Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So, if Mabitba starts with the Rosh Chodesh Iyar, why do we learn over here about Pesach Sheni, which happened in Nisan? Zogt Rashi, the Chodesh Rishon, Pasha Shebarosh HaSefer Lo Nemro Ad Iyar. Lomadetar She'en Seder Mukta Mamurucha Batoiro. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Then Rashi goes on, V'lomo lo el posa b'zu. No, other rabbi, why shouldn't there be ein mukta mamucha b'toira? Why shouldn't there be a logical seder of chronology? Zatim, m'pnei shehi gnusan shel Yisrael, shekol abo en shono shehoi Yisrael, b'midbo lo yikrimo elo Pesach zeh b'lvad. This is a sad story over here, this Pasha of Pesach Sheni, because we know that that's the only Pesach that they brought in the midbo. And therefore, it's a sad pasha, and therefore they didn't want to open a sefer with it. To start a sefer by Midbar with such a sad story, the Rabbi Nisham chose not to. Al kol tonim, we see in Rashi that Rashi also holds that it's true that ein mukdam amurcha batoila, but you have to have a logical reason for it. So we would have to find the logical reason why Rashi can live with the fact that this Krisus Bris over here, with the Mizbeach and the Sefer HaBris and the Chatzidam on the Mizbeach and the Chatzidam on the Kal Yisrael, why that should be out of its place? If it happened on Dalet Nisan, well, from Dalet to Hay, so then why not put it over there, Bim Koimai? We'll come to that in a few moments, but first I wanted to share with you a thought which I have to for the Ibn Ezra. Well, the Ramban has this taina on the Ibn Ezra. How can you say ein mukdam amurcha b'toira stam kacha without any kind of logic? Ein mukdam amurcha b'toira. But it doesn't make any sense. The Torah has to be logical. The truth is that we find something in which the Torah is taka not logical. It's taka not logical, and that's a chazan ish, a very very wichtige chazan ish, who is ma'ira a very interesting Shaila. That's an Ayur Chaim Simon Kuf Chof Hey. Very, very interesting. See, Shaila is all the mitzvahs. When were they given? We know we have mitzvahs in the Torah which were said in by Hasinai. The whole of Mishpatim was said by, I don't mean on Hasinai, but I mean while they were still camped by Hasinai, they learned Pashas Mishpatim. Then we have, let's say, Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra Hashem El Moshe Me'oyel Moyed. That was during the 40 years, you have mitzvahs which come in the Oyel Moyed. Or the Dinim of Korbanos. We didn't learn them at Sinai, apparently. We learned them in Oyel Moyed. Then you have mitzvahs which come only in Sefer Devarim, when they're already in Avos Moyev. Very, very interesting mitzvahs. Avos Hashem. V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. Where does it say it? In Shema, in Voschana. It's Avos Moyev. And lots of mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, the mitzvahs which come only in Avos Moyev. Now, what's the pshat? Is it true that we taka didn't know? Let's ask ourselves, was there a din of Avos Hashem during the Midbar? Was there a mitzvah in loving the Rabbi Nishleim? Was there such a din in the Midbar? Wasn't there? Well, it only says in Voice Chanan, how would they have known it? But there's Machloikis Tanoim, and Rabbi Akiva's Shitta is, that Kala Torah Kula Nemro B'Sinai, V'Nishne V'Oyel Moed, V'Nishtal Shabbat V'Avos Moyev. That's Rabbi Akiva's Shitta. That's really, when we get to Behar, if we ever say a Shia on that, but that's this Indian of Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel HaSinai, to tell us that Ma Shmita Nemru Kolaseo Potaseo B'Sinai, so everything was Nemru Kolaseo Potaseo B'Sinai, meaning, it says Shmita in Mishpotim, it says it just in one pasuk, V'Ashvi is Tishmateno Natashta, finished. So it says a klal. But we learn all the protim of Shvi'ez later on in Baha, but it says Baha Sinai, it was said in Baha Sinai. But Baha is much later, it's already in the Midbar. in the Ayin Mayet. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that even though the Torah tells it to us in the form of Ayin Mayet, but the truth is that it had already been said at Sinai. And what the Rice is telling us is that that's true for the whole Torah. Kol HaTorah Kula. We knew already it was Torah Shebal Peh by Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu learned every mitzvah, including V'Avtas Hashem Elokecha. Everything by HaSinai. Then he learned everything again in the Ayin Mayet. And then he learned everything again by Avos Mayet. So why does the Torah put, let's say, the mitzvah of Rechveza, Lesalem, Malaz, Amiz, Bechia, Shaloisi, Goleh, El Vosachor, Alav, in the Nusach of Sinai? And Rechveza, Kedoshim, Tiyu, in the Nusach of Ayin Mayav. And Avraham, Hashem, Elokecha, in the Nusach of Avos Mayet. But why does the Torah do that? Why does the Torah let, if the historical truth is that Kol HaTorah Kula Nemra L'Moshe MiSinai, so tell it to us, tell us the whole Torah as it was said in Sinai. If it was said again in Ayin Mayet, so tell us the whole Torah in Ayin Mayet and the whole Torah in Avos Mayet. But the Torah doesn't do that. So on the one hand, we hold like Rabbi Akiva that Kol HaTorah Kula Nemra B'Sinai V'Nishne the Ayin Mayet, the Nishtalsho Ba'avos Mayet. But if you read the Torah, it doesn't sound that way. Some of the mitzvahs are given in this form, some of the mitzvahs are given in that form, some of the mitzvahs are given in that form. Why should that be? Zog the Heilige Chazon Ish, that the reason is because the Rabbi Nisham knew how best the droshes of the Torah would work. The Rabbi Nisham, we don't know, we can't say. We can't say why V'haftas Hashem L'Kerah is better off in Vos Chanan than in Echveis and B'Shalach. Mishpatim, let's say. But the Rebbein Shlom wrote the Torah in such a way that with all the droshes and smichas and hakeshim and zeroshovas and whatever it is that we want, the whole Torah is a Torah Shebiksav which has to yield a limitless Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rebbein Shlom wrote the Torah in such a way that everything is positioned in the best possible way for yielding all the information which we need to derive from the Torah. Now, once we've got this aside from the Chazon Ish, I think that it could be very, very well that that's also what the Ibn Ezra holds. I mean, it's no more illogical to put a piece of information in the Torah not in its chronological order, not in its chronological order. What's the logic behind it? The Torah says, what's the logic of telling me the mitzvah after Hashem Elokech and Vos Chanan? The Torah says that they're cheshbonos. If you could make cheshbonos for that, you could make cheshbonos for that. So the Rebbein Shem had a reason that for the smichas and for the gematrios, but there are many, 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 many issues in the Torah, and by writing it in this order rather than in the chronological order, we have a mahalach. The Rebbein Shem had his mahalach. What I mean to emphasize in Ezra is that you see that the whole Torah, you see the Torah is not a storybook. Somebody writes a storybook, so then he has to follow chronology. Unless they're flashbacks or flash-forwards, but you have to follow a logical sequence. The Torah is not a story. The Torah is a Torah. And the Torah means that it teaches us. And if it can teach me its treasure of wisdom best by not using chronology all the time, so you don't use it. Just like you make such decisions where the logic is not evident to us, also in other things, whether you tell me the mitzvah in the nusach it was there, or you tell me the mitzvah in the nusach that it was there. Oh, that's the pshat, I think, in the Ibn Ezra. But in the meantime, we know that Rashi and the Ramban don't agree with that. And they hold that the preferred method of writing the Torah would be chronological, which is really what I mean. I really imagine that probably anybody would really say that we'd want to write it chronologically. Unless there are reasons. There was a reason by Pesach Sheni Zog Rashi. So what's the pshat over here? So that's how I came to that Gur Aryeh by Rav Hartman, which I quoted before, where he goes through the Rashi by Pesach Sheni. The Maral over here in the Gur Aryeh explains Rashi. In other words, the Maral held that Rashi's shitta is that you have to have a logic. You can't say stam ein mukdam v'urcha b'torah. There has to be a logic why you'd want to say ein mukdam v'urcha b'torah in this particular case. Dr. Maral, I'll tell you what the logic is over here. That's very interesting. Now, I don't even know whether I understand the Maral 100%. Those of you who are listening to this year, I would have a look if I were you in the Gur Aryeh over there. It's well worth looking at. But it's very, very interesting. The Maral has a shitta. I'm telling you over now again how Rav Hartman learned Pshat and the Maral in this Nikuda, which I'm going to say just now. The Maral has a very, very, very important shitta about Midrashim and about Chazal in general. Very, very important shitta. What is that shitta? He says that Chazal, the Chachma HaTorah, is different than the Chachma of the Goyim, science, mathematics. They are inherently different to a Torah. In what sense? That is as follows. That, you know, we talk about Limudei Chol, we call Chachmas Chitzonios. That's secular subjects. We call secular subjects Chachmas Chitzonios. What does it mean outside? So if that is in contrast to the Torah, so that's, the Torah would then be a Chachma Pnimis. It means if secular things are Chachma Chitzayna, so then Torah is going to be a Chachma Pnimis. Now what does that mean? So the Maral says, I'll tell you what it means. It means that Chazal do not deal with the physical reality. They deal with the essential reality. Moshe always give, maybe I've said it in one of the Shiurim already, I don't remember, but the Gemara in Kitten, the Tisha B'Av Gemara over there, but to a Malka with 600,000 cities and 600,000, and there can't have been so many people on a mountain. And Maral himself says it over there in the Chiddush HaGadol, and the Taka was, it wasn't true in a physical sense. But this to a Malka, its essential nature was roi to have enormous number of people. So the pshat is that in an imperfect world that couldn't be expressed. But Chazal are not talking about the same realities that a scientist is talking. If a scientist is talking and saying there are X number of objects over here, so he means precisely that there are X numbers of objects. And if somebody goes and have a look and he sees that there are not X number of objects, then his theory is wrong. But by us it's not that way in the Torah, because they weren't talking about the physical reality, they were talking about the essential nature. Very, very yesodistic. So important. A lot of times we come across agadatas where it's stuck a very difficult, is it like that, isn't it like that in the physical world. So Zakta Maral, relax, it's not like that in the physical world. But the Chazal are not dealing with the physical knowledge. Dealing with physical knowledge is Chachma Chitzayna. The Chachma Pnimes deals with essence, not with the physical form. Dr. Maral said, this Trisus Bris by the Mizbeach, with the Chatzi Adam on the Mizbeach and Chatzi Adam on the people, that was a Bris on Torah. This was a Bris on the Matan Torah. That's exactly what it was. What did we see that Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu told him? Hine dama bris asher koras Hashem imochem al kol advorim o'ele. It was a Christus bris that they would keep the Torah. So therefore, it's a bris on the Torah. So if it's a bris on the Torah, so first you have to have the Torah, and then you make the bris. But you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because then it would turn out that you have Torah for a while without the bris. And that doesn't happen by the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, if the Torah requires a bris, so it can't be that the Torah gave us the Torah and, well, the vial is not the way it should be. We need a bris for this, but we'll get around to it sooner or later. That's not the way the Ribbono Shel Olam works. So you needed a bris the minute the Torah was given. You needed a bris. But how can you have it? You can't have it at the same time, give me the Torah and make the bris. You can't do that. Human beings can't do that. There they were busy getting the Torah on Sinai. They can't at the same time be sprinkling dam on the Mizveach. Can you sign? So what are you going to do? If you're going to do it afterwards, so then you have the Torah without the bris. Can't be. Concurrently is impossible. So what's the only thing you can do it? You can only do it before. So Mimele, Rashi learns, it was before. Why does the Torah write it that it was afterwards? Why does the Torah write that it happened afterwards when it didn't happen afterwards? Zakta Maral, because we're not talking about physical reality. The physical reality is taka that it was before. But essentially, it's afterwards. Why? Because it's a bris on Torah. So in an essential sense, in the etzem energy of what really happens is that the Torah has to precede the bris. But the Torah can't precede the bris, because then you have Torah without bris. So therefore you have to do it concurrently. But you can't do it concurrently because you can't do it. So what are you going to do? Either before or afterwards. So if you have it before, so then you're okay. Because although the Torah isn't there yet, so your bris has really got nothing to be chalon. But the second the Torah is given, so then your bris latches on it. Good, we have a Torah with a bris. So write it before? No, because if you write it before, the Torah tells us essential truth, and the essential truth would then be that the bris comes before the Torah, but it's not true. In an essential context, the bris comes after the Torah. Mainly the physical actions happened before, and the Torah writes it afterwards, and we have an answer why over here the Torah dealt with the yesoid of Ein Mukdama Meucher Batayra, and we don't have a problem. We have a good and logical reason for it. Now, I'm not sure whether I understand it completely, but I thought it's worthwhile saying it over, because it's found it very, very intriguing as an example of that yesoid, that what the Maharal says in many different places, that the Torah deals with essence rather than with form. So we've really discussed two important yesoidas in learning Chumash tonight, and I think that was kedai maybe to spend a shiur on it. First of all, to try to find it in Ezra, that if you hold Ein Mukdama Meucher Batorah, even if there is no logical reason for it that you can think of, it doesn't matter, because the Torah doesn't have to be logical. The Torah is not logical either, at least logical in a way that we can grasp the logic, why some mitzvahs are told in this nusach and why mitzvahs are told in that nusach. So the Torah is a safer of learning, and the safer of learning chronology would get in the way. So we write it without chronology when the teaching of what the Torah has to teach us gets in the way. And this yesoid that all Chazal deal with essence rather than with form is also a very, very important yesoid. And, well, for this year, let's take that as the shiur for Mishpatim.